Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Firefighters corralled another lightning-caused wildfire in the interior yesterday. State Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the Salcha River fire is located about a mile north of the Salcha River near Flat Creek, 25 miles east of the Richardson Highway. Mowry says there are cabins in the general area and the fire was hit hard from the air.
Multiple drafts by two water scoopers. Air tanker dropped two loads of retardant on each flank of the fire to box it in and protect the cabins along the river to slow its progress there.
Mowry says the air attack was effective and the fire, which was estimated at 3 acres at the start of the operation, was halted at 7 acres. He says smoke jumpers and fire crews are working the burn to secure the perimeter. The fire is suspected to have resulted from a lightning strike that smoldered into flames. Alaska's visitor industry was one of the hardest hit by the pandemic, and in the interior, tourism businesses are still working through travel restrictions, worker shortages, and other challenges as the industry prepares for a rebound beginning this summer. As KUAC's Robin reports, the head of Fairbanks Tourism Agency anticipates some bright spots in 2021.
Scott McRae wanted to tell Alaska business leaders this week there are bright spots ahead for the tourism industry, but they are few right now.
I know this presentation was entitled The Road to Recovery. I think it's important to note that it is an uphill climb to recovery.
McRae has been in the tourism business for years, but just stepped into the top job at Explore Fairbanks, the convention and visitors agency here. He says Alaska's tourism business had been growing steadily before the pandemic, keeping a lot of people employed.
Pretty dramatic growth over the last 5 years from 2019 going back. And what was exciting going into 2020 is how it was going to be yet another record-breaking year.
That changed with the first clues that Fairbanks would not be able to host the typical cohort of Chinese visitors who usually come for dog sledding and aurora viewing.
There was concern how that would impact visitation from China during the Lunar New Year. That's a peak travel time there in late January, February, where we see visitors from mainland China.
In the following year, McRae says 40% of all job losses in Fairbanks were in the leisure and hospitality sector. Fairbanks International Airport had a 59% reduction in air arrivals and departures. The Alaska Railroad ridership decreased 85%. The Explore Fairbanks staff went from 26 to 12 people, and they all took cuts in their salaries. Now, you've probably heard numbers like that for a year, and you've heard stories of how businesses pivoted during the first year of the pandemic. For Explore Fairbanks, it was building an Explore Local campaign. They produced 26 short videos to market Alaska to Alaskans.
Here, winter in interior Alaska is a great time to get out and get active. Skiing, ice skating.
And this year, McRae says they're addressing visitors' survey responses about traveling safely.
What type of attributes in a destination do you desire when you can travel again? Wide open spaces, places with not that many crowds. That's like, well, hello, welcome to Alaska, the ultimate social distancing destination.
The Alaska hospitality industry is relying on money from the American Rescue Plan to regrow the next 2 to 3 years. And already things are turning around. There are new air carriers and new airline routes out of Fairbanks that weren't there in 2019. And McRae wanted people to note this anomaly.
Amazingly low airfares. Someone in Anchorage who wanted to fly to a lower 48 destination, it would be better to come up, drive up to Fairbanks and fly out from Fairbanks because our fares are that much lower than they are in Anchorage.
Explore Fairbanks made a new video to lure people ready to fly.
Hop on a plane, get vaccinated upon arrival.
McRae says the super low airfares and other tour deals have created a class of last-minute visitors who are starting to show up in Alaska without a plan. He says they need a lot of help lining up activities and transportation because they can't find rental cars. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A bill in the U.S. Senate addresses PFAS contamination at military sites nationwide, including two in interior Alaska. The Filthy 50 Act, introduced by Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and fellow Democratic Senator Alex Padilla of California, would require the Secretary of Defense to submit a report to Congress within 60 days on the status of PFAS remediation at the 50 most contaminated Department of Defense sites.
And make sure that those are prioritized. So it might be a short bill, but it's a very important bill.
Jared Hayes, a policy analyst at the nonprofit Environmental Working Group, says Eielson Air Force Base and the former Galena Air Force Station are among the Filthy 50.
Because they have such high levels of contamination, they were specifically selected for priority cleanup.
More broadly, the bill would require the Secretary of Defense to conduct PFAS testing at all DOD sites within 2 years of the law taking effect. Sites where water is found to be in violation of state or federal PFAS drinking water contamination standards would have to be provided safe water within 60 days. Finally, the legislation would require remediation of PFAS at contaminated DOD sites within 10 years.
That's important because in a recent congressional hearing, DOD officials testified that they're looking at a conservative 30 years for remediation at these sites. So that would bring that down pretty swiftly.
A companion piece of legislation introduced by Gillibrand and Padilla called the Clean Water for Military Families Act would authorize $10 billion for PFAS investigation and remediation at military sites. A state budget will likely be passed at the end of this month's special legislative session, but the amount of the permanent fund dividend will likely remain for consideration during a second special session scheduled for August. That's according to longtime state senator Gary Stevens of Kodiak. KMXT's Jared Griffin reports.
A budget must be passed before June 30th, but Senator Gary Stevens from Kodiak is not concerned.
Government will not be shut down, I can promise you that. Pink slips will not be sent out, I can promise you that.
But what can happen is that a budget will be passed with everything in it except for the PFD. In that case, Stevens said the PFD will be taken up at the next special session in August. The PFD has grown exponentially this past year, from $60 billion to just over $80 billion. Senator Stevens expressed optimism about the potential of the PFD to fund nearly all state government services in the near future.
When it reaches $100 billion, 5% is $5 billion, and $5 billion pays for everything. It pays for all public services, schools, police protection, mental health, all of those things. And pretty remarkable that it pays for that, plus it would pay for a reasonable dividend, maybe around $1,000.
Stevens believes that reducing overdraws from the fund now would help the state avoid taxing Alaskans to pay for government services.
You know, we can overdraw the permanent fund by another 5%, as the governor has suggested. We could do that. But that means that the investment is going down every year.
For those reasons, Senator Stevens opposes Governor Dunleavy's proposal to enshrine the PFD formula in the state constitution.
If we put those things in the constitution, we can't touch them. What happens if things really go to hell in a handbasket? What happens at that point? How does the state then pay for services? The only way we can do that then is to do income tax or sales tax.
The state of Alaska is also receiving about $1 trillion in federal COVID relief to use over the next 3 years. In Kodiak, I'm Jared Griffin.
And I'm Dan Bross.